everybody, this is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, welcome back. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing great, and I'm ready to trade in all of my extended family for new people, so this episode really, you know, rings true with me.
A month alone with the only people who understand you that are your, like, close family? You don't know more? We don't do that anymore?
Nope. I have to take a forced at least 6-month break.
You don't have permission, I should say, to ever leave me again for a month, because it's very strange not doing this for a month.
I really
at a time.
Don't plan on it.
Good. You're not allowed. You're not allowed. I like doing it a weekly thing. It's a nice regular, you know, keeps me honest. Keeps us honest. Let's see. Well, Matt has been gone for a while. He's been out gallivanting around Europe, Germany, you know, being, you know, fancy rich guy that he is.
Yeah, rich guy, I don't know if you know this, but no one takes credit cards in Europe, so I'm not used to carrying that much cash, and you know, now I slump down on the side where my my change pocket is because of all the coins.
George Costanza problem?
Exactly.
Okay. Before we get into this week's episode, I do want to touch on a few things we really haven't had a chance to talk about because we've been working through a backlog while Matt's been traveling. First and foremost, the biggest news while Matt has been gone, I kind of talked about it on social media a little bit, but Harry Shearer, da-da-da-da, has come back to the show. He will be, be the same Burns, same Flanders as always. Harry Shearer has returned. It doesn't surprise me. Does it surprise you, Matt?
Not particularly. The only thing I'm kind of interested in is if anyone has revealed exactly what the dispute was in the first place. Like, was it money or merchandise or anything like that? Because, I don't really care.
Okay.
And I mean, he's totally within his rights to want more of money or merchandising rights or whatever. I just would be interested to know.
Well, Al Jean did kind of tweet something out, or I believe he tweeted it. I don't know if it was somewhere online. He said something about how I don't know. It was some miscommunication. It was about Shearer's schedule, and it was simply like a miscommunication between the two parties. That was it. That was the big deal. Like, yeah, I don't know. And like, it got blown up, I guess, after, you know, like Harry Shearer eventually took offense or something along those lines, but fences are mended. He is back in the fold. No different. If we could even tell the difference, but Harry Shearer. I don't know. We'll never know probably until the next time something like this happens. The other thing, sad news, Alex Rocco, the voice of Roger Myers Jr., has passed away a few weeks ago now. Yeah. So rest in peace, Mr. Rocco. He's a very good actor, and he did a great job every time he appeared as Roger Myers Jr.
Does this mean we get Roger Myers III?
Maybe. It's not a bad idea, honestly. And by the way, guys, if you hear some weird rumbling in the background, it's because there's landscaping outside. I don't know why they chose 6:30 at night to grace my fine abode, but that's any random noise. That's what that is. Let's see. Before we get started, also, please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. It really helps us out. It is a great way for us to grow, and we definitely are interested in that. This week's episode, Matt, I should also say I apologize for us missing last week. We have already recorded this episode once, and it got lost in the depths of my
lost.
Matt, you want to be responsible for handling all these files and editing them and keeping them all safe and compact and putting them in the right places all the time?
No, but I do believe you should stop trying to teach your cats how to navigate Windows Explorer in that particular directory. Just saying.
Matt, my cats are never going to learn how to edit a podcast unless I let them. Let them try and let them learn and let them fail, okay? And sometimes...
But you should have test podcasts. Like an old episode of Handsome Boys. You know, that's not important.
You know Eric does listen to this podcast, just so that you know.
I know. Isn't it great?
Okay. But it is Brother from the Same Planet, episode 9, F12, originally aired February 4th, 1993, written by John Vitti, directed by Jeffrey Lynch. He finished 18th in the ratings of that week, Nielsen rating of 14.9, approximately 13.9 million viewing households. It was the highest rated show on Fox that week, beating Martin. Take that,
yeah.
Martin.
You and your edgy comedy.
I have no particular problem with Martin.
No, neither do I, but, you know, that was edgy for the early 90s, right?
It was... Like, Married with Children wasn't... If you look at those shows now, they're not... They're very tame. They're very tame. The chalkboard gag, the principal's toupee is not a frisbee. Sure. I don't know which principle they're talking about. Skinner does not have a toupee, as far as I know. I mean, that's never...
It's obviously the preschool's principal. That's where, you know, where they came from.
Okay. The couch guy. Couch rotates, and the family disappears. It does the old, you know, the wall, the couch goes behind the wall thing. Like, it happens in Indiana Jones, Last Crusade.
Super spooky.
The fire, yeah. Kind of in Scooby-Doo kind of thing. The episode guest stars Phil Hartman. Good old Phil, as Tom. I don't think we ever learned Tom's last name, do we?
I don't believe so. I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be Cruz.
Well, yes, which we will cover. The episode begins with a soccer match between Bart and his friends, Nelson included. Nelson, crazily enough, wins a free week of soccer camp from his dad, who is a coach. Although it kind of contrasts with, you know, his dad, who's generally gone, has run off, but not yet.
That's true. He still smokes, but he hasn't gone out for cigarettes and not come back yet.
Not yet. The match ends. And most of the kids are going off to see Bart and Fink. And they're very excited because it's R-rated.
Yeah. Sorry, kids. You're not going to enjoy anything about that film.
Yeah. I like that it ties in two ways and that it has the name Bart in it, which is like, you know, and it's an R-rated movie that kids might think is cool, but until they see it and then realize. It's a joke they actually do again when Bart and Milhouse sneak in a naked lunch.
Yeah. I can think of exactly two things wrong with that title.
Yeah, exactly. But at this point, it kind of sets the main story of the episode in motion, where Homer is forgetting to pick up Bart. Bart is waiting around, and he just, like, he's just sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting. We get a woman who looks a lot like Homer. And is Dan Castellaneta's voice doing a falsetto drive by in an identical car the Simpsons have, which a strange coincidence there. Bart gets rained on, nearly killed by lightning. And at the same time, Homer is sitting at home with getting tons of different stimuli, all telling him to pick up Bart.
After 16 glorious seasons, the Green Bay faithful bid farewell to Brian Bartlett Starr.
I keep thinking I'm forgetting something.
Bart! 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 Bart!
Bart! I can't think with all this noise. What am I supposed to do? Pick up Bart! Pick up Bart! Pick a bar? What the hell is pick a bar?
Milhouse even does a Shining style message. Trap you sick. Trap you sick, which is backwards, pick up Bart, you know, but because Bart is sending a psychic message. I guess Bart has the Shinin already.
Yep, the Shinin. Not the Shining, the Shinin.
Not the Shining, this is Shinin. And Milhouse gets that. Homer has a nightmare. Oh, what is his nightmare? What is that? Am I talking about?
Yeah, it's where he goes to the field and Bart's skeleton is there.
Oh, right, right. And he's in the bath. Yes, he goes to the bath to escape this psychic stimuli, and has a nightmare that Bart is dead, and then comes to quick realization he needs to pick up Bart.
Bart!
Dad, hide your shame!
Hey, homie, I can see your doodle.
Shut up, Flanders.
That's what I'm calling it from now on, your doodle.
Your doodle. It's a reliable word. It's good. You know, it's, I don't know, is it better than dong?
It depends. Are you Ned Flanders? Do you want to be like Ned Flanders? Are you a nice, considerate person? If all of those are yes, then you can say doodle. Otherwise, you'd say dong.
Okay, I'm a dong guy all the way.
all right.
Homer picks up Bart eventually. Bart is soaking wet, obviously very upset, and Homer tries to kind of escape the blame, honestly.
I know you're mad at me right now, and I'm kind of mad, too. I mean, we could sit here and try to figure out who forgot to pick up who till the cows come home. But let's just say we're both wrong, and that'll be that. Now, how about a hug?
And that is, it comes at the end.
Terrifying, yes.
Yeah, it's pretty horrific, as Bart, like, envisioning Homer's skin melting off his face, a la end of... another Indiana Jones, the Raiders of the Last Ark, with the Nazis. But that's the first act ends with Bart in bed watching what is an obvious Saturday Night Live parody called Tuesday Night Live, with Krusty guesting and doing a really bad job, which is apparently just a shot at Saturday Night Live because there were several writers on the Simpsons staff who were a part of the show from at a certain time and hated it.
It was the early 90s for SNL, which was, if I remember correctly, not the best time.
No, they were writing for like the mid 80s, which is when like the Joe Piscopo, after Joe Piscopo and Eddie Murphy left and like it got a whole new cast. It was Robert Downey Jr. and Randy Quaid.
Yeesh.
You've ever seen any of those?
I have not.
There's reason, because they, like, Lorne Michaels has tried to erase them from existence. They're so terrible.
Wow.
And they were part of the show during that time, which I don't blame them for having some resentment, because that was really, it was not good. But we get a bad, kind of a parody of a bad Saturday Night Live sketch. But the important part here is Bart sees a commercial for Bigger Brothers, which is basically, it's a clear analog to Big Brothers, the kind of mentorship program. And Bart gets the idea to enroll, find himself a bigger brother to replace Homer. With that, we go to commercial. I think, does it cut on, it ends on the Big Ear family? Is that how it ends, Matt?
I believe so, yes. And when we come back, we see that Bart is in the Bigger Brother's office talking to the nice, incredibly kind woman, and he's telling her the most horrific story. Bart has adopted his usual Cockney accent for this, and he is telling her how Bart was abandoned by his father.
So the last time you saw your father was 6 years ago?
Yeah, he left me out on the curb for the Ashman. What a revolting development.
You brave little soldier. I've been saving someone special for a case like yours.
Bart Simpson.
Yo.
I'm Tom. Let's ride.
Yeah, so basically what you can't hear in that, obviously, is that on the end there, Tom is a giant barrel-chested man. Well, I don't know, barrel-chested. He's got a skinny little waist and blonde hair, and it's pretty obvious he's, as the episode progresses, you realize he is definitely based on Tom Cruise.
Yeah, they wanted Tom Cruise to do the voice, and I guess Tom Cruise backed out or didn't want to do it, so they just got Phil Hartman, who does a great job, honestly. It really is that kind of like, he's like, oh, all around great guy. Like, there's no flaws in him. He's like perfect.
Which at this point in time was also Tom Cruise.
oh, come on, Matt. Tom Cruise is, I've turned around on Tom Cruise. I'm back on board. I'm on board.
Oh, I've been on board for Tom Cruise the actor the entire time. Tom Cruise the person.
I don't know.
Comes and goes.
There's reports that he's going to leave Scientology soon.
I heard, but nothing confirmed.
There's nothing confirmed, because Scientology will kill anyone that even utters a. You probably by the time you listen to this podcast, we're probably dead. Scientology.
That's
will
true.
Send their assassins.
Or at the very least, labeled as suppressive persons. So we'll be SPs. Good job. All my other SPs out there. But anyway, what you can't hear in that clip is Tom rides up on a motorcycle and it tosses Bart a already, you know, custom painted motorcycle helmet that says Bart on it. So we're pretty much at this point establishing bona fides of Tom being the coolest person ever. But then we cut to Homer and Marge arguing about how Bart feels. Marge feels that Bart hates Homer and called him a bad father, and Homer goes off on a long diatribe about how bad means good and to shake your booty means to wiggle one's butt, which we got that, Homer, thanks, don't need an explanation there. When he is interrupted by Marge exclaiming about a phone bill that is several hundred dollars, and of course Homer immediately thinks that it's his fault, because odds are it probably was, but you know,
good lord. Homer, do you have an explanation for this bill?
Oh, with that record club, the first nine were only a penny. Then they jacked up the price. It's not fair. It's not fair, I tells you.
But luckily for Homer, their telephone bill is itemized, so they can see that the person who ran up the bill called the Corey Hotline. And unluckily for Lisa, she is across the hallway listening and closes the door, showing her Corey poster, making it very, very obvious that it was Maggie who made all those calls.
I really like this is like the B story, and I really like it. It really shows like a not flattering side of Lisa, and all too often Lisa is the person on the other side of this.
Yep, she's the one who's a genius, not a little girl.
Yeah, she's a genius, and she's like, it was, you know, like Homer versus Lisa in the Eighth Commandment. It's always, she's the one who's like trying to moralize things, and in this case, she's like struggling ethically with something, and it's kind of refreshing, and it reminds you, yes, she's a little girl who idolizes a handful of Corys.
Eight, I believe, as we found out.
Yes, eight Corys. Mm-hmm.
But Marge confronts her, and Lisa, obviously, she knows that it's wrong, so it's less of an ethical issue as more of a self-control issue. But she promises Marge that they will never be billed for another call, which, I don't know about you, but even as a, what was I around this time, 9, 10 years old, I saw the loophole in that pretty quickly.
Well, she pulls a little bit of a Bart here. That's a little bit of a Bart thing, where, like, you just word it so that, you know, technically she's right. She didn't lie. She's honest.
She did not lie. She, you know, just massaged the truth a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But from there, we cut to Bart at a baseball game with Tom, where there's a throwaway joke about the Springfield communist recruiter. And Bart, of course, telling Tom about how awful his father was, you know, betting their life savings on a poker game where he hit on 21. Because, you know, I could see Homer doing that, honestly. And then we cut back to Lisa, who is at the doctor's office getting some ear drops. And Dr. Hibbert wanders away for a bit and tells her to just sit there and let the drops settle. But he doesn't seem to care that there's a phone on the wall there. So Lisa runs over and immediately calls the Corey Hotline. And we are allowed to hear some wonderful things about what Corey says on the Corey Hotline.
The Corey Hotline, $4.95 a minute. Here are some words that rhyme with Corey: glory, story, allegory, Montessori.
Riveting, absolutely riveting. I can't imagine what kind of wonderful content they'd have on the Corey website today.
I could probably send you a website that give you a good example, Matt, if you want.
No, I'm good, thanks.
You sure?
I'm sure. Is it a One Direction fan page?
Yeah.
Is it on MySpace or GeoCities?
No, right now, yes, it'd probably be a One Direction. Is One Direction even, I know one of the members left, and there was a big thing about that. I'm not up on my One Direction news.
Neither am I. They're probably not big anymore. I'm probably like 5 years behind on the thing that little girls love.
They like YouTube people. Minecraft? They like Minecraft? Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All the kids love Minecraft these days. They're all watching PewDiePie.
PewDiePie. Hey, I know that guy. He makes money on YouTube.
He makes a lot of money on YouTube. I wish I could make that much money. But unfortunately, we just do a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But after that call, we go back to Tom and Bart, who are working out in Tom's apartment. And Tom has quite a nice amount of workout equipment. I got to say, I was a little jealous as a kid and still today at how much awesome workout equipment Tom has. He also unironically says things like blast your quads. So, you know, he's, you know, comfortable with himself.
Well, in the 90s, blast your quads, I think it could be said unironically, and it's okay.
That's true. It's probably pretty new back then. Someone's like, oh, that's cool. Blast your quads, man.
Yeah, I think if you say that unironically now, it's not okay. But then I think it's fine.
That's true. We're going to be blasting our quads pretty soon with a new weight bench, right?
No leg attachment, and I wouldn't use not use a leg attachment on a weight bench anyway. They're useless.
That's true.
The interesting thing that happens here to me is they watch Ren and Stimpy.
Which I didn't realize what a big deal that was until you explained it to me.
Yeah, well, Ren and Stimpy, like, were you a fan of Ren and Stimpy, Matt, at the time?
Not really. I think Ren and Stimpy was out concurrently with Doug and a few others that I was more of a fan of.
Yeah, I never really liked it. It was always too gross for me, kind of.
Yeah.
Even though I do like, I mean, I can still sing the log song.
I think we all sing that to go to sleep every night.
Yeah, I can sing.
We're on the bathroom. We're on the toilet.
That's the worst, Matt. But I actually, I saw this in the newsgroup postings, but what, I mean, other than it's cool seeing Ren and Stimpy in the Simpsons world, because they got permission. Fox actually wouldn't let them go as far as they wanted. They wanted to do even, like, more crazy Ren and Stimpy style stuff, but they couldn't because of Fox, of course. But the other thing that it says, and that I didn't think about until I saw it in the newsgroup posting, is that Tom has cable. Tom can afford cable. He has Nickelodeon. He can afford to watch Ren and Stimpy while at the Simpsons they watch H.G. and Scratchy on public television, on the, you know, network, which is ostensibly what Krusty is on.
Yeah, I think I didn't really realize that, because when I was watching the Simpsons, we had cable and I watched Nickelodeon all the time. So I guess that was more of a big deal to people who couldn't afford cable back then. So it didn't really strike me. But now it's like, yeah, obviously, you know, Tom's a rich guy. He's got cable. I'm sure he probably even had the Disney Channel, man.
We had the Disney Channel. I never watched it.
Really? I mean, come on. Okay, to be fair, the best Disney Channel stuff, you know, really came around like Kim Possible in the early 2000s. So, you know,
so Bart is going to his show and tell after he's done with watching Ren and Stimpy, right?
After
Matt?
He's done with Ren and Stimpy and blasting his quads.
Blasting his quads.
He goes to show and tell, where he apparently Tom has lent him a neural disruptor. And Bart wants to be an F-14 pilot like him. And when you see a property of the U.S. Navy sticker on the side of the neural disruptor, and then he shoots Martin in the head, because that's what you do. You demonstrate your show and tell things.
It is show. Matt, show. Not just tell. It is show and tell.
Exactly. Luckily for Martin, it doesn't kill him. It just, you know, scrambles his brain for a little bit. I'm pretty sure that's the equivalent of the pepper spray cannons they have now. You know, they just make you feel like you want to die rather than killing you. Of course, poor Milhouse, who has to go after Bart, he has a horsey. Nay.
I love his horsey. I like Milhouse's horsey. It's perfect. Milhouse is the best.
Yeah, I kind of wish I captured that clip, but too late now.
Too late.
We go from show and tell to Lisa at the retirement home visiting Grandpa. And, of course, Grandpa, after about 3 seconds of telling a boring story, falls asleep himself. So Lisa walks over to the phone and once again calls the Corey hotline, where we are entertained by the scintillating stories of the life of one of these Coreys. I mean, to be fair, it's the Corey hotline. There's 8 of them. Do they all go on the same hotline, or just one of the Coreys? This is his hotline. They each have their own separate hotlines. These are the questions.
You need to know the answers to? I don't know, Matt. I'm imagining that it's just one. It's the biggest Corey.
That's, of course. Obviously, that's Corey Haim.
Well, they couldn't use real Coreys. And I was always more of a Corey Feldman fan myself. But, you know, everyone has their favorite.
Anyway, Lisa, in the next scene, is at school, inventorying the Glue Cup peanut brittle, where she once again calls the Corey hotline because there's a phone just kind of hanging out. Luckily for, you know, people who are against the Corey hotline, Principal Skinner is next door in his office and hears the phone dial 900 number. Now, that is a nerd. He was able to listen and tell that it was a 900 number. I think Principal Skinner hung out with Kevin Mitnick a little bit too much.
Who are we talking? Who's
Kevin Mitnick? He was a old school phone freaker. You remember that scene in Hackers where they play a series of tones into the phone,
mm-hmm,
and it lets them call for free?
Yeah.
That was the kind of stuff they did.
Ah, okay. Yeah, Hacker. You got to talk about Hackers more, Matt. You got to use all the Hackers, the completely accurate 90s hacker movie with Penn.
Oh, it's a classic.
Penn Jillette. Anyway.
Wait, he was in that?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Angelina Jolie, Johnny Lee Miller, and they had a relationship after that. Penn is in it briefly. He's on the bad guys team. What's his face? The dude who plays Shaggy in the Scooby Doo movies. He was also in SLC Punk. Can I remember his name?
No idea.
Okay. Well, I think
after our dive into obscure 90s cinema. But Principal Skinner notices the 900 number and immediately stops her. And as we'll see later, he reports her to Marge. Then we see Bart and Tom. They are hang gliding, which is an awesome hobby that I still want to try. But Bart, in this wonderful environment, is feeling a little guilty. And he feels that Tom should be somebody else's bigger brother. And, of course, this moves Tom because he's a sensitive 90s man and says, Bart, I would kiss you if bigger brothers didn't make me sign a form saying I wouldn't. Which, you know, he's a cool guy. We also learned on this hang gliding trip that apparently Springfield has an active volcano, and not even just a volcano, but like a crater filled with lava.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious. Why haven't we seen more volcano in
that's true.
In the Simpsons?
The only volcano we've seen is in Japan, where for their crazy Japanese game show, which actually turned out to be orange drink.
Yeah, it was orange drink. Why can't we have a volcano explosion episode? Or like, you know, Dante's Peak kind of thing.
Actually, now that I think about it, there is an episode in like season 18 or 19 when Marge's friend Chloe comes back and she's a great news reporter and Mount Springfield erupts. So
okay,
it just took him about 18, 19 years.
So it's Mount, is that Mount, so that's confirmed that's Mount Springfield?
That's the only time I've ever heard of a volcano.
Springfield has multiple volcanoes.
That's true. It is on like the intersection of six fault lines and a couple subduction zones.
Okay, there you go.
Anyway, they sat down for Bart and Tom. They sat down for Frogert nearby. On their way to sitting down, Homer, through some binoculars, spots them. And he is immediately enraged that Bart would go somewhere else for his fun, despite Homer being an inattentive father. It's a good choice there, Homer. He is at home waiting for Bart. And Bart, of course, is like, oh, you know, I was a Tom. And or he doesn't say that, but Homer accuses him. And Bart doesn't really deny it. He's just like, oh, yeah, whatever. And he asks Homer, what are you going to do about it? And Homer says, oh, you'll see. And I believe that's a snifter of brandy he's drinking for some reason.
There's actually this reference and there's another reference later on of I think it's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, I believe, is the movie.
Ah.
Yes,
of course.
Richard Burton accuses Elizabeth Taylor of adultery in that film.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And it's a parallel to that, this and a later scene, which is kind of creepy, gotcha. Actually. But yeah, that's what it's referring to.
Gotcha. All right. But of course, Homer's revenge is pretty obvious when you think about it.
Hello, son. Where have you been?
Playing with Milhouse.
No, you haven't. You've been out gallivanting around with that floozy of a bigger brother of yours, haven't you? Haven't you? Look at me.
Dad, it just kinda happened. You're taking this too hard.
How would you like me to take it? Go ahead, Bart. Have your fun. I'll be waiting for you. I'm sorry. I can't do it.
Well, what are you gonna do?
Oh, you'll see.
And what are your reasons for wanting a little brother?
Don't say revenge. Don't say revenge. Revenge? That's it. I'm getting out of here.
Welcome aboard, Mr. Simpson.
Gotta love those Homer and his brain segments. I just want to make sure that we also note that the other choices for motivations of bigger brothers are spite, malice, boredom, and profit, which, you know.
That covers everything.
Profits. Yeah, profit scares the hell out of me. But the rest of those, yeah, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean.
They're valid motivations.
Spite, malice, and revenge are very close together, honestly. They're not that different from each other. But when we come back, Homer finds his little brother, apparently. Pepe literally walks into the place and looks about as sad as you possibly could. He is also, like, a very, like, they did a good job in making him very, like, a cute child. Like, he has gigantic eyes, and, you know, he's very sad.
Very anime.
Yeah, he's in the, like, it's purposeful, like, make him look pathetic and adorable.
Yeah, that kind of kid you just want to, you know, take it and be like, aw, let me go help you out.
Yeah. Homer, before settling on Pepe, does have some words for all the other people he's looking over.
Ugly, wiener, crater face, chewy, chewy.
Very, very sensitive of Homer. He's a very, very nice guy. At the same time, Lisa is at school. In a meeting with Principal Skinner and Marge, where, you know, Marge and Principal Skinner they're not, like, overbearing on her about it. They are kind of the care about her, want her to stop because they realize it's not good for her. And we get a Psycho reference at this point with Skinner and his mother, which is actually kind of apt. It's a good kind of weird pop culture comparison for that relationship. Homer and Pepe, we see them kind of going out on a fun day,
Relatively.
Relatively. They get ice cream, I think. And do we see them do anything else? They go... What do?
They
go...
They walk around his neighborhood a little bit, I think.
Yeah. Do they go bowling? Or am I imagining that?
I think you're imagining. I don't recall them bowling. I could be wrong.
Oh, no. There's an Itchy and Scratchy that's bowling. That's where I'm getting that from.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. But Homer explains Bart to Pepe in the same kind of way that Bart explained it to Tom. He explains Bart, and Bart is like this monstrous child. He's actually use a reference to Scarface, the Cagney Scarface from the 30s, where he rubs a grapefruit in Homer's face. But Pepe, really, he just wants to see the stars at night. He's always been in the city and hasn't been able to see them. We get a wonderful explanation of all the constellations from Homer.
Tell me more. I want to know all the constellations.
Well, there's Jerry the cowboy. And that Big Dipper-looking thing is Alan the cowboy.
Oh, Papa Homer, you are so learned.
Learned, son. It's pronounced learned.
I love you, Papa Homer.
I love you too, Pepsi.
Peppy.
I did not know there were so many cowboy constellations.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I must have fallen asleep during astronomy class.
Yeah, there's a lot of cowboy constellations up there. At the same time, we are seeing Lisa trying to conquer her addiction. And she is... This is a weird thing to capture, but the sound design in this scene is really good because it really does kind of capture her psychosis at this moment.
Gotta make it till midnight. Gotta make it till midnight.
Some quality Foley work there.
And we cut later to Lisa. It's after midnight. Marge is checking up on her. She's not in her room. She's actually in the kitchen. The phone to her ear. Marge is initially disappointed, but we find out that she made it through the night. And Lisa kind of wakes up and says, and she's listening to just the phone number, the line that tells you the time. I don't know what time, like 411 or whatever it is. And
yeah, I kind of feel like they could have just disconnected the phone line because back then that's all you had. But that's good. Good job, Lisa.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean the same, Matt. If she doesn't do it herself, if she isn't, you know, if she able to, but does not do it anyway. We find that Homer has given away Bart's skateboard and there's a confrontation about Pepe. Who the hell is Pepe? And this is kind of a weird scene. Another reference to, I believe, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? And it's weird. It stands out to me as being a weird thing.
Yeah.
It's got a weird like scene like about pushing Bart on the swing and how he's faking enjoyment. I don't know. It felt out of place to me, but whatever. Then the episode, basically we see both Bart and Tom and Homer and Pepe both go to the aquarium, and Bart and Homer spot each other. And Tom and Homer then have a confrontation.
Come on, Bart. You know better than to talk to strangers.
For your information, I'm his father.
His father? The drunken gambler?
That's right. And who might you be?
What a wonderful start.
It's so perfect that Homer... The drunken gambler. Yes. Yes, I am the drunken. And the episode ends with, like, how long is this fight scene? Like 3 minutes? 3 to 4 minutes long?
Long. Very long.
It's a long fight scene. It's actually, they were having trouble ending this episode, the writers, and they didn't know what to do. And Sam Simon took them to watch a film, The Quiet Man, which is a John Wayne movie. And it ends with literally the same thing, a huge fight scene. And, Homer and Tom fight it out for minutes on end, could point fingers at people who've stolen this bit almost exactly. They added a chicken suit. It's called Family Guy. I'm pointing directly fingers at Family Guy. Hey, you stole this. But the episode ends with Tom punching Homer and he backwards over a fire hydrant. And there's like,
ow.
Yeah, and you just a little noise. It's like, just a little, and it's most, it looks so bad. And apparently they tried all kinds of different sounds for this, and they went for the tiniest one. And because it felt the most real, and it looks really awful. But at this point, I guess they kind of, the ruse is gone. Bart and Homer are not, you know, they're both a parent and son that have each other. They don't need bigger and smaller brother. And they fake out, they do like a ruse, like, oh, maybe that Tom and Pepe aren't going to end up, you know, together. But then they do, Bart brings them together. And then the episode ends with Bart and Homer bonding over dirty fighting. Which,
well, yeah, I that's mean, a very, they've done it before.
They have done it before. It is kind of appropriate. I kind of enjoy that. I like that. That's what brings them together. Both of their kind of scoundrels. They always bond over that. Overall, a very good episode.
It's one of those ones you don't really remember that much. I certainly didn't, but it's actually really good.
Yeah, it's kind of, well, it gets overshadowed by a lot of other episodes in this season. It's hard not to be just because there's so many like classic episodes in this one that everyone remembers, and some of the very good ones kind of get lost in the shuffle a little bit. But still, it's very good. Phil Hartman, as always, does a wonderful job. A very good, not, I wouldn't call it great, but it's very, very good. Very funny. Has tons of classic lines, which we played some of. It's going to be interesting to see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure where to put it. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Yes, we will.
Nope, we won't. Sorry. Spoiler alert, guys. We don't figure it out.
We've already done it one, Matt. We'll do it again.
Fine.
Fine. Let's see, no submissions for my favorite episode, but you guys can continue sending them in. For those people who have sent them in through our website and I didn't get to them, I'm figuring out a way to put them on the show in some form. So they will be on the show eventually. You can send them in, our email address is the best place, simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. That's where I can find them the easiest. Next up is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I comb the old alt.tv.simpsons message boards, their archived Google groups, and I look for anything, you know, happened that week that the episode aired, what reactions were, things like that. If anything kind of just came up in the news. And not a bunch. There was one particular thing that apparently, I'll just read it word for word here. This is from the news group. I was watching Full House last night. My wife likes it okay. Like, he has to defend that he's watching Full House. And I caught a Simpsons reference that took me by surprise. Two younger daughters were arguing about something or other, and Uncle Jesse, the immortal vampire John Stamos, comes in and says something like, "Yo, yo, yo, itchy, scratchy, what's going on?" Kind of neat. I wonder if on the show they let the squeaky clean kids watch such garbage like The Simpsons. He has a little emoticon. But yeah, I like that. You know, you can see kind of where The Simpsons are in pop culture when it's being referenced on, like, even a show like Full House, which is kind of has the reputation as, like, the squeaky clean sitcom. Apparently, the Olsen twins might be on board for the reboot.
Oh, God.
Fuller House. I'm full on board for that. I guess Matt's not too excited.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm the only person who's not, really. Apparently, everyone else in the world wants this, and then they think it's going to be amazing.
Well, the way I look at it, Matt, is either, I mean, it's either going to be the same, which is a nice nostalgic thing, or it will be really bad, and that's still enjoyable because it's so bad.
Okay, fair enough. I can enjoy it for its terribleness.
See, there you go. But that's about it from the news group. Next up, our listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite episode that features either Selma or Patty, either of the Bouvier twins? Tons of great answers, always, guys. Always give us great answers. Let's see. First, from Twitter, Mark, @MarkPreston1983, Homer vs. Patty and Selma, great episode showing the dynamic between the three title characters. Nothing is broke except Homer. Brandon, @MacPowie, Goo Goo Guy Pan, after listening to your last ep, Selma's choice, this one seems perfect. It was Selma finally getting her wish. We have Sharpie at Sharpie Sharp. It's good. I like that. It's a good name. We have A Fish Called Selma for sure. Probably the best Troy McClure episode too. I can't disagree. Let's Chat Podcast. I just recorded those gentlemen a couple days ago. Definitely suggest you guys go check them out. I had to think about this a lot. I went with A Fish Called Selma. Selma's Choice is a close second, and loved your episode about it too. Thank you very much, guys. And finally, from Twitter, we have John at ChapelStyle311. Yes, this projection is accurate. I picked Homer versus Patty and Selma. # no collateral. Break legs in advance. Facebook, we have Jacob. A Fish Called Selma, there's so much I love about it. Troy McClure videos, the pop culture knots, other movies, the Muppets Go Medieval, Hamelot, especially Selma smoking cigars. We used to quote Selma at a cigar company I worked for. It's like smoke 5 cigarettes at once. And last but certainly not least, Planet of the Apes musical. My brother and I used to sing the Dr. Zaius song, and yes, you finally made a monkey out of me. We about drove my parents crazy. Chris, always get a kick out of The Real Housewives of Fat Tony when Selma thinks Fat Tony's in love with her, but he's already married and only wants her to be his side B. Abby, Homer versus Patty and Selma. At the end, when Homer is just about to feel smug satisfaction that Patty and Selma are getting in trouble for smoking at work, he decides to take the bullet for them for the sake of Marge because he loves her so much, and Bart's B story is great. Zach, definitely a fish named Selma. Love Troy, of course, but it's nice to see character development from Selma. Great jokes, great gags, all time classic episode. # he's everywhere you want to be. And finally, this is an email from Holly. My favorite Patty and Selma episode has to be Homer versus Patty and Selma. I love the A and B stories. Love when the terrible twosome have a Homer crawling on all fours, talking like a dog, and Bart's venture into ballet shows a whole new side of him. Susan Sarandon as the ballet instructor is excellent. Includes some of my favorite quotes, including, time to fertilize the lawn. A couple 500-pound bags ought to do it. that one's apparently one of Matt's favorite as well. Oh, okay, Marge, I'll get along with him. Then I will hug some snakes. Yes, I will hug and kiss some poisonous snakes. And Jimbo, he's a sissy, let's rush him. And I think it also did a great job of showing how much Homer truly loves Marge, hilarious and touching all in one. So, Matt, what is your answer?
Well, I gotta be honest, I love A Fish Called Selma like everyone else, and also really appreciate Homer versus Patty and Selma as an underrated episode, really. But I'm actually gonna go with the episode, it's from a later season, called There's Something About Marrying, in which Springfield legalizes gay marriage, and so Homer becomes an online minister and starts just marrying gay couples left and right. And of course, one of them turns out to be, surprise, surprise, Patty. It's a really great episode because you get to see Marge's relationship with Patty. And most of the Patty episodes are about Patty and Selma. The only one really that's not is Principal Charming. But this one shows a really good depth to the relationship between Marge and Patty. For those of you who haven't seen it or can't remember it, Marge is gung-ho about gay marriage until it turns out that her sister wants to get married. And then she's very... she tries to equivocate and say, oh no, this can't be right, blah blah blah, when it's been obvious to everyone always that Patty is gay. And in addition to that, the funny parts in the background are actually pretty good, but it's, I don't really like the ending, where it turns out that Patty, the person Patty wants to marry, is actually a man. That's kind of a cheap ending, I suppose. But it does give Marge the opportunity to, you know, prove her love for Patty by telling her that. But all in all, it's a good episode and one that a lot of people, you know, overlook. But, you know, if you have, go ahead and watch it. It's great.
Yeah, my answer is I can't not say it's a fish called Selma. So good. And it's like very popular because it's a really good episode and really is great character about Selma. I am going to give a little half answer, Homer versus Patty and Selma, because that is, their relationship is so interesting. Homer's and Patty's and Selma's relationship. And the fact that Homer does like take a bullet for them at the end is really interesting. And really kind of cements how he feels about Marge and that he's willing to do these kind of things. But Fish Called Selma, Troy McClure, Planet of the Apes, the musical, Dr. Zaius, the Muppets. What's a Muppet? It's not quite a mop. It's not quite a puppet. Yeah. It's so good. It's hard not to pick it. Let's see. So Matt, next week's question, with the giant fight that ends this episode, what is your favorite fight from The Simpsons? It could be, and I mean, I obviously, this is on an eye to physical altercation, but it could be not necessarily physical. I'm not sure what I'm going to pick. I've got to think about it. But once you guys give us your answer, I post it on our social media, Facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, and you can, of course, email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Now, Matt, it is time once again for our new Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
Every time it makes me laugh. No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each challenge each other with 3 trivia questions. 1 easy, 1 medium, 1 hard. See if we can stump the other. And of course, we take questions and theme submissions from the listeners. And I will throw them at Matt as well. We've got some good ones this week that I'm sure Matt is not going to know. So I always like that. No official theme, but I, of course, picked one. I know Matt did as well. So I see into the future.
Or, you know, the past, whichever.
Or the past. I'll start us off. Matt, you ready for an easy question?
I'm ready. Hit me.
Okay. Troy McClure and Lionel Hutz are both voiced by what SNL alum?
Chris Farley?
Matt.
No, it's Phil Hartman.
Yeah. I want to see the new Chris Farley documentary, by the way.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to make me cry, probably, but it looks really good. Hit me with an easy question, Matt.
All right, sir. Your easy question. What famous group of puppets did Troy McClure co-star with?
The Muppets.
We talked a little bit too much about them to make that hard.
Yeah, it's an easy question. It should be easy. So, Matt, your medium question. In what episode and what character do we first hear Phil Hartman?
Oh, isn't he the voice of God in Barker's Hit by a Car?
A heavenly voice, yes. So I'll give
heavenly
you
heavenly voice.
He's credited as a voice from heaven, whatever you want to take that gotcha. As. It could be God or just a PA announcer, whatever, you know. However, I don't know how heaven works with their announcement system. I don't know if God's doing that himself or he has a dude who, you know, handles that, an angel perhaps, or
he farms it out.
Yeah, maybe the newest dead person that, you know, was a good DJ or has a nice voice. Hell, maybe Phil Hartman is doing it now.
Oh, I hope so.
Give me a medium question, man.
All right, your medium question. What kind of car does Troy McClure drive?
Oh, I know I read this really recently, and I can't remember. Is it a Plymouth?
No, I'll give you one hint. Chief Wiggum is hit in the face by the door as it opens.
Oh, it's a Gullwing. Is it DeLorean? Yeah,
that's correct.
Okay. Oh, I did not... I completely forgot about that. Okay, Matt, this is a hard one, but I think you can do it. You may, maybe.
Uh-oh.
We'll see. But I want you to name 5 movies Troy McClure has been in. I have a list of 27 in front of me.
Oh my gosh,
name
okay.
Name 5, and every 1/5 is bonus.
All right, let's see here. Even getting 5 is going to be tough. Any movies or like
movies.
Popular movies? Okay.
Movies, not film strips. Not television shows, the movies, actual movies. Because if it was everything he's been in, this thing would be 100 long, and I have to limit it to something.
Okay, I don't know if this movie ever got made, but he was planning on being the flabtrabulous contraption of Professor Horatio Hufnagel.
That's not exactly correct, but I'll give you credit for it. It's close.
All right, good. Obviously, The Erotic Adventures of Hercules.
Okay,
no surprise.
There's 2.
With Norman Fell as Zeus. Oh God. So many. This is terrible. If you told me an episode, I could probably finish the quote, but I can't come up with it on the top of my head. Wasn't one of them Today We Kill, Tomorrow We Die?
That is correct. That's 3. There
okay.
you go. You're
okay.
working your way through it. You got it. 2 more.
All right. I really hope you're cutting out all the silence in between.
Nope, I'm gonna leave it all and make it sound awkward as hell.
Okay. Gladys the Groovy Mule.
There you go. 4. Come on, 1 more. You can do it.
Oh, 1 more. It's so hard. God, you're gonna kill me with this last one. I know it. Or the other, like, the other, what, 23 on this list?
Mm-hmm. I give you a hint, Matt. We just read it out loud. Gave you a fifth one. I read it out loud in one of our answers for this week.
Well, I mean, the Muppets Go Medieval.
There you go. Does that one count? That counts. That's fine. All right, there you that's go.
Fine. Whew, I'm giving up there. That took way too long.
Okay, here I'm going to read out all the other ones. Okay, we have.
Oh God. Okay.
We have Cry Yuma. Here Comes the Coast Guard. Preacher with a Shovel. The Revenge of Abe Lincoln. The Wackiest Covered Wagon in the West. Calling All Quakers. Dial In for Murderousness. P is for Psycho. The President's Neck is Missing. The Boat Jacking of Super Ship 79. Hydro, the Man with the Hydraulic Arms. This is the one that was in my head. Good Time Slim, Uncle Doobie, and the Great Frisco Freakout.
Oh, of course.
The Greatest Story Ever Hooled. They Came to Burgle Carnegie Hall. Meet Joe Blow. Give My Remains to Broadway. The Verdict Was Mail Fraud. This is another personal favorite. Leper in the Backfield. Nice. Make Out King of Montana. The Electric Gigolo, David vs. Super Goliath, and suddenly Last Supper.
Last Supper, yeah. It's funny, if you ever give me the first one, I can almost always get the second one. They just go together.
Okay, Matt, give me a hard one.
Hard question.
I couldn't even get the medium, so let's see.
Yeah. All right. What did Lionel Hutz receive as compensation for babysitting for The Simpsons in Marge on the Lam?
Ah, yes. A birdcage from the garbage.
Okay.
Two popsicles?
Yes.
Two popsicles and $8?
That is correct. Good job. Such yes. A strong fee. He's a brilliant legal mind, obviously.
Well, Miguel Sanchez.
Yeah. Well, he became Miguel Sanchez. Lionel Hutz got the money, but, you know, Miguel Sanchez was left standing at the end of the night.
Yes. I have a few questions from our listeners, Matt. You ready for these?
Oh, Lord, I guess.
I have three questions from Izzy, a friend of the show. I have some real, he calls it real world Simpsons trivia.
Ah, crap, am I bad at that?
I know, that's what I'm asking. See, Fox is in the process of rolling out a real-life version of Duff. What country will roll it out first?
I believe Germany.
Incorrect.
Are you sure? Because we brought you a can of Duff back.
I know that Izzy works at a brewery or at a beer distributorship, so I'm going to trust him on this. If it's beer-related, I'm fairly it's his business, Matt.
That's true.
Chile is the answer.
Really?
Chile,
interesting.
Chile. So, okay, this one, I know you know this one. For the promotion of the Simpsons movie, what chain store temporarily became a Quickie Mart?
That would be the 7-Eleven.
That is correct. And finally, in 1997, a real-to-life version of the Simpsons house was built. Where was it built?
Wasn't it somewhere in Arizona?
No, not Arizona.
New Mexico?
Not New Mexico.
Could have sworn it was the Southwest. I have no idea then.
Henderson, Nevada.
Oh, okay. So I just had to go north a little bit. Never mind.
Finally, I'll give you one more question. This is very tough. I don't think I could not get this. This is from Dan. There are 14 episodes with one word titles. Name five of them.
Ooh.
I mean, I mean, some of them are like coming off the top of your head it's hard to do, but I know you know these if you just can come up with them. It's hard.
That's true. The only one that immediately comes to mind is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
I don't think that counts as one, though.
Why not? There's no spaces.
There's parentheses.
Whatever. One word titles.
Okay, I'll throw that one in. It counts.
Pygmalion.
Okay, that's two.
Yeah, that's all I got. I can't think of any more.
Okay, these are the ones that I know you know them. Duffless.
Yeah.
Rosebud. Homer Palooza.
Nah.
There's the three right there. Then there's Homer, you know, H-O-M-R.
Right.
Homerazzi. Money Wait, Bart.
Oh, the paparazzi, yeah.
Homerland. YOLO.
That's an episode, really? Wow, okay.
Diggs. D-I-G-G-S. Simpsonrama, Covercraft, Lucas, the dollar sign, and finally, Bull E.
Yeah, some of these I got nothing.
Yeah, about half the list is from the later seasons, which are, you know, I don't think neither of us are that. You're sharper than I am on that, so you had a much better chance than I did getting those. But yes, thank you, Dan. Thank you, Izzy. We always appreciate when you guys, people send us in questions. You can send them in all the social media places if you want to email me, email them or give us a theme about which we can center our questions around. We, of course, can do that. But where's my notes? Hey, there they are. With that over, it is time, finally, Matt, it is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is part of the show. Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Now, Matt, where are we going to put this one?
Ooh, this is a tough one.
It's a Homer Bart episode. I think we can start there. It is a clear, it's a Homer Bart episode, a very strong guest performance by Phil Hartman, a good Lisa B plot. Let's see, we got Homer Bart episodes.
Saturdays of Thunder is the only one that springs to mind immediately.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest one. I mean, that's not, actually, it might be the highest. Is that the highest one on our list? I'm trying to think. Yeah, it actually might be the highest Homer Bart episode.
Yeah, it seems by a lot, actually.
Yeah, I think this is better than the Saturdays of Thunder, honestly.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, like you said, it's got the super strong Lisa B plot, and it's got Phil Hartman in it, which
Saturdays of Thunder,
those two things alone
is fine. But it does meander a lot, and it.
Oh yeah,
and I mean the unfortunate Bill Cosby stuff. It can't really help that at this point, but it's not. It's fault, but it does not help it, that episode. There's so much in it. But I right above Saturdays of Thunder is Brush with Greatness, a very good Marge episode. And then we have Bart the Murderer, and then Separate Vocations, which I have a soft spot in my heart for that. Camp Krusty. I think it's in that neighborhood. It's somewhere in 15 to 20, I would say.
Definitely, I would definitely say so. Let's see. I don't think it's as good as Separate Vocations. Like you, I definitely have a soft spot for that particular episode.
I think that this episode, despite being very funny, and it doesn't have like that deep emotional thing that Separate Vocations does. That Bart and Lisa connect, that is what that sells that episode to me. And this is a Homer Bart, but it's mostly just kind of Homer and Bart kind of hanging out with new people. And kind of exploring the relationship through that. So Bart the Murderer. I don't know. I think Bart the Murderer narrowly edges it out. It's a really funny episode. Also has great guest performances. It's a good Goodfellas kind of parody set thing.
Yeah, when the whole episode is so strong of a parody of that, it's kind of hard to beat because the consistency in that is kind of amazing. How incredibly well it follows that trajectory, and that's the kind of thing that's really hard to beat. And I mean, that episode also has a lot of horror. It's got a lot of background jokes, and just it ties together very well. Not to mention it has Joe Mantegna as Fat Tony, which,
yes,
I mean that's not quite Phil Hartman, but it's close.
No, and Fat Tony is his first appearance. It's good. I'm on board Fat Tony. Brush with Greatness. Is it better than Brush with Greatness? It's a very good Marge episode, but I think it has a lot of the same like issues that Saturdays of Thunder does, where it kind of it's not super on point. Like it meanders a bit. It's also not as funny. I think Brother from the Same Planet is funnier than Brush with Greatness, and Brush with Greatness has a lot of heart to it, but it doesn't have the same amount of jokes. That I mean, this like all these season 4 episodes, they're just packed with jokes. I would put it right above, probably right above Brush with Greatness, right below Bart the Murderer. I think that's a good spot. It's when there's not, it does, I don't think we, this is a new kind of thing where I don't think it has a, I think Saturdays of Thunder is its closest analog, but even that I don't think is 100% there, because the B plot of this really sets it apart. Like the Lisa plot is really good and it's really short, but it really does a good job of communicating character for Lisa. And I think that kind of gives it that little bit of heart to take it over Brush with Greatness.
I would have to agree.
Okay. See, that's all you gotta say, Matt. All you gotta say. I would have to agree. So I gotta, it makes it easy. Isn't it make life simple? Yeah. You just gotta agree with me.
But it's so hard to agree with you. You're so disagreeable.
we generally agree about things, Matt. I just hate to, I don't
know.
I mean, aside from,
and I hate myself every time we do.
Oh, that's not very nice. So that would put it at number 18, Brother from the Same Planet, right above Brush of Greatness, right below Bart the Murderer. First place, newly crowned Marge versus the Monorail, still holding on strong. Although, who knows? I don't know, there's a few episodes coming up where I think I don't know. Until I rewatch them, it may get knocked off. I don't know. Last place, Homer's Odyssey, number 73.
Still don't see anything in sight that's worse than that.
No, it's someone on, I think I've already mentioned this once, but someone on Twitter, I believe it, I'm not going to try and look it up now. It's going to take too much time. But there was a conversation on Twitter about that and how it was the first episode written and produced.
Wow.
And so they were finding their feet. And there are episodes worse than that, Matt. And I'm really enjoying people trying to guess which ones I'm thinking of. Because there's a lot of different guesses. That's the fun part. You can find this list at our website. It's simply thesimpsonsshow.com. You can find everything there. Links to all their social media. Links to our RSS feed. Two new episodes. Do this list. Donate the show, of course. We obviously appreciate it. And I'm going to put the trivia on there eventually. I'm kind of late. I've had it available to me. It is all my fault. But yeah, let's see. Before we go, what are we doing next week, Matt? Another good episode.
I believe. Oh my god. Oh my god, it's finally here. I Love Lisa.
Yeah, I Love Lisa, which I don't know. I feel like we're going to disproportionately rank that one. I think we're going to put it higher than it probably should go, just because.
I don't know. That is fantastic.
It's a Lisa and Ralph episode. It's the Lisa and Ralph episode. Ugh.
With a little bit of Bart thrown in.
That's
amazing.
True. Yeah. Ugh. I feel like we're going to see how it goes. I think we're going to put it high. That's what I've been very excited that you're coming back, just because I've been really wanting to talk about I Love Lisa. Before we go, I'm on Twitter at Mixmaster Cereal. It's MixmasterCereal. Follow me there if you'd like. And please check out my comic book podcast, aforementioned Handsome Boys Comics Hour, iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That's true, but for the next week, I will be asleep as much as possible. So just don't bother. Get back to me next week.
Yeah, a month on vacation wasn't enough for Matt. Now he's got to take another week off.
Exactly, because vacation is not restful. Anyone who tells you a vacation that's not at home is restful is lying to you heavily.
Yeah, it's kind of do need a vacation from your vacation once in a while. But yeah, so with that, call it a day. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.